anyway. As I say, I was so busy myself, one thing and another, what with boiling bones and...
Oh, yes, another thing.
That,
another important thing, we sold a lot of our prized possessions, bit by bit.
Oh, yes, that's what we did.
To these, well, I wouldn't, I would have a very bad name for second-hand men, because I guess for that reason. But it wasn't their fault, you know. We had to sell things bit by bit, you see.
And you could actually sell them, there was a market.
Well, to a second-hand man, for selling, it was wicked stuff. I used to get rid of.
You couldn't sell them to people because people didn't have the money to buy them.
But I mean, to these people, they would buy them for nothing and hang on to them.
We had fairly good furniture when we came out, you see, on that boxcar thing. And then it finally went. We'd sell the Chesterfield and the lamps. And finally, we'd get down to nothing where we just had the kitchen table. And then you had to fix up a...
I had a whole bunch of coins, English coins and so on. You know, these threepenny pieces and sixpennies and other stuff. And we'd use them in the streetcars for tokens.
You could.
Oh, yes, sure. There's no counterweight. There's no, you know, there's no trick to put them in there. You see, he didn't know what was going in the box. You see, it could have been a coin from Turkey, if I didn't. You know. So I dumped a bunch. Both money today. You know.
Where did you get them from?
Well, I bought them from when I was in China and England. You know.
Oh, so you still had them?
Yeah, sure. Then I bought with me from China
Mahjong.
A mahjong set. It was about this square. Beautiful set.
I've
been to the rotten second-hand man for some. Today we were about $300. Well, $500 a day, I guess, to brighten the market.
Anyway, everything went, and we just had this one kitchen table, and we had boxes to sit on, and okay, you know, that kind of stuff.
Now this is normal. This wasn't us. Everybody was in the same predicament.
Yeah. In fact, when we went into Nelson Avenue, we didn't hardly have anything. Really, and I heard somebody say as they went by, I don't know how they got that idea, because nobody ever came in. They got no furniture in there, I heard them saying. It made me feel like... But however, at least we had the room, that's on the bed. And then in the winter time, you see, we didn't have any blankets. We finally didn't have any blankets, you see. So what we used to have to do was put these old heavy, kids always remember, these old heavy coats on them to keep them warm. And the furnace wasn't working in that place either, you know. You couldn't get it fixed. Used to smoke, and you couldn't, you know, it was healthier not to have it on. So we all used to have to jump out, because it was cold in those days too, very cold weather, you know. Jump out of bed upstairs and rush down to the old kitchen range. We bought another old kitchen range, you know, and rush down there to get warm. The kids always remember that. And I said, well, that was good for you. That's why we can't stand heat in our bedrooms today.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know.
However, you know, as I say, it was...
It all sounds very bad, but it can compare to what they suffer in these underdeveloped countries.
Yeah.
There's no comparison with that. Mm-hmm. We really would often didn't know it compared to them.
Mm-hmm. I mean, if you used your brains...
It was tough.
How to get by, you know. You could do it, yeah.
You had to use your
knowledge. But you had to keep working. You know, as I say, boiling up bones and... And sometimes a bit of fat would come out, suet, you know, sometimes would thrown in the bone. This here box he used to keep for his bones. And then she'd bring home this bit of suet, and then I'd make them a plum duff or something, you see. So in those days, raisins was about £2 for a nickel or something, you know, very cheap. So yeah. That and a bit of suet and flour, what have you got? Stick it in one of those flour sacks, boil it. Think they had a wonderful dessert.
Yeah.
Spotted dog, I used to call it.
It's like diking against the river every day.
Yeah.
Before you engulfed, you know.
And every day you had to go out and start again.
That's right. There's one thing you can sleep at night. Because you were just a dog tired running around the daytime picking things up. You slept well.
Well, when did the depression end for you?
When the war started.
Well, on September the the 8th, 1939, when I joined the Irish Fusiliers. I was the first man in Burnaby to join up. And then half the whole left to join up.
Did you do it because of patriotism or for a job?
I was just fed up.
Oh, those people, you know.
That's what I was joining for.
I think
for.
They all joined, not for patriotism, but for a job.
Well, no, no, you don't know, May, what I'm
saying. Oh, of course they did. You can't tell me that stuff.
You don't know anybody's mind, May, because you can't get into the city.
Do you mean to say when people have been treated like that, these dear fellows that were in concentration camps, you might as well call them, they would join up and for the country.
It just sounds that way, May, until the enemy's at your door. Then you think other things, don't you?
Yeah.
I mean, you forget everything, the fact if there's any danger, and there was danger right then, you see, this guy Hitler was crossing Europe.
I know, but...
And I was concerned, I've always been patriotic for my country. Now, Canada's my country. How can the desert on these shores, it was my country. But the other one was in the past. And I felt that I could do something, you see. Incidentally, it would enrich me too, at the same time it gave me a job, you see, that was incidental. But I enjoyed the army thoroughly. I got along well in the army. I became a staff sergeant major. And I organized the headquarters in Prince Rupert. I was there for 4 years. It was a wonderful experience.
Yeah. Yes, I know, but the majority of the people, I still say, they joined up for a meal ticket. Because they were sick and tired of, well, certainly wouldn't they?
You guys summed off the army too, you see, lots of them didn't.
Yeah, that's what I know, but I'm saying the majority wasn't.
I knew some joined to get over there and get the agony over with, get shot down. That's what some told me that.
Yeah.
Let's get out of this place and ending for a change, you see.
To finish off, is there any one thing that sticks out in your mind about the Depression years? One thing you remember? Or is there anything we should have talked about we didn't?
You mean any certain incident?
Yeah. Or anything.
Well, the main incident was with me was when we had to find a place when we were like evicted, you see, because we were hunting. You didn't go straight to that. And we were hunting and hunting, you know, and you was wondering the next. In fact, it was only 24 hours before the fellow was going to come and put us on the sidewalk, that you managed to get that house.
And some guy
really
took
upset.
Bought his truck and moved us for nothing. I figured out it was now.
But yeah. They wouldn't let you. They hung on to those houses tight, you see, till they knew people really actually were going to be on the street.